Welcome to the Rooney Report. Today we have with us Emily Schneller. Emily, thanks so much for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So Emily, you recently published a book called Misled, and what inspired you to go through all the time and effort to publish this little pro-life book?
Sure. So in general, it covers the ways that abortion is promoted to young people, to my generation, whether that be through schools or in abortion clinics themselves or on social media. So, I mean, what really inspired it all and led me to begin this research project was a psychology class that I took my freshman year of college. I just graduated in April, and I started writing this book probably my second year of college. But during that first year, the human development course that I took just had a textbook that was pretty shocking to me. There was a one-page article in the book that covered the story of a couple considering abortion. And they were concerned that their child might have Down syndrome. And one of the quotes that just really stood out in that page was, "The way I see it, if a baby is going to be deformed or something, abortion is a way to keep everyone from suffering." And it talks about shooting a horse that's broken its leg, and how a lame horse dies slowly, and making that comparison to a Down syndrome child that should be aborted and essentially put out of its misery. And so that was really shocking for me to come across. And so at that point in school, I had become involved with Young America's Foundation, and just started leading a club on campus and went to a lot of conferences across the country and met a lot of people, a lot of other like-minded students. And so at that point, I just, kind of wondered what other students were experiencing, because I attended a small Christian private school. And so I, figured that if I'm experiencing this kind of abortion propaganda, really, then there's got to be other students throughout the country experiencing something similar. So that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you published the book and had brought this really very biased approach about the dignity of human beings. People who have Down syndrome have a very high, satisfaction in life, and they contribute in their own way. And so I'm so glad that you've done this. And have you had any, other people your age who've, read your book and it's like, "Oh, thanks for doing this," and feedback?
I have, yeah. I mean, I've definitely been blessed with positive feedback. And the interesting thing has been the reaction to the social media section of my book, because that's what I really focus on at the end of it. And I highlight just how much abortion is promoted on apps like Snapchat. And I would see all sorts of advertisements almost daily about abortion or promoting hookup culture. And so that's something that I expose at the end of the book. But you never know really what other young people are also seeing on social media. A lot of the time that kind of thing is specialized person to person, depends on algorithms, that kind of thing. But I have had young people read the book and then say, "Oh, I remember seeing an advertisement like that or seeing that exact same thing." So it's just been interesting getting that feedback.
Yeah, you did a good job in, talking about the objectification of humans and how social media, contributes to that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. That is definitely a huge problem, and it all kind of goes together with the issue of abortion. and just how hookup culture is promoted. I mean, women are so sexualized that I mean, it's a huge problem on social media. And if that's what young people are coming across, and they're not necessarily valuing themselves as people, or young women aren't, and objectifying their bodies, then I'm not really sure how they're supposed to value life as a whole. And so it all goes together, with this issue of abortion.
Yeah, it really does. And whenever we see other human beings as objects, or we even see ourselves as an object, it hurts emotionally. You know, those people who don't understand and respect the dignity of each human being. And one of the photos you had in your that you have in your little book talks about baby spray away, and I'm like, oh, you know, that talk about having a human being as an object. I mean, that's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, it's really sad and degrading, quite frankly. I wasn't able to actually put the photos directly into this book that I, screenshotted online, these advertisements that I would see on Snapchat. I did keep track of everything that I saw and would screenshot it, and would have loved to include it in the book, but just to avoid copyright issues, I was not able to do that. But I mean, hopefully you can get the picture from how it's explained. But I mean, yeah, that advertisement that you referenced with the spray bottle, there was literally a spray bottle on Snapchat in this advertisement that just said, baby away spray on the actual spray bottle. So it paints a very vivid picture. And these advertisements are put online where young people are definitely bound to see it. It's hard to avoid. And yeah, I mean, that's just really sad that that's where our culture is at, and that that's what my generation has been taught to believe.
So, Emily, you know, in addition to your book, are there any resources that you recommend for young people to, you know, feel better about defending the dignity of human life?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that is something that I mentioned in this book in terms of guidelines for helping our pro-life community. I think it's really important for young people to do research themselves. They're going to, especially in schools, come across this debate, and if they don't know how to defend the pro-life position, and provide that positive message of hope in their classes and to their friends and things like that, then this movement's going to have a lot of problems. So my suggestion is always to do research, especially through Live Action's a really great organization. My freshman year, I had to do a lot of that myself. I ended up doing a project for it in a communications class, and learned so much. Live Action does a lot of videos just explaining procedures of abortions, and they use Dr. Levitino's help often. He's super great, so I would definitely suggest looking him up and looking that organization up.
Good. Well, thanks so much for all you've done. And if you could give us, you know, where we can get a copy of your, I already read a copy, which I enjoyed, but where the viewers can obtain a copy of your book.
Yeah, absolutely. So printed copies and digital copies are available at alethospress.com. That is who I published the book through. But then you can also find ebooks available at Amazon Kindle.
All right, thanks again, Emily, and I'll be talking with another Emily here shortly about what we had just talked about. So thanks so much.
Yes, great. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, thanks. Welcome back to the Rooney Report. Now we have with us Emily Albrecht. So much, So nice to have you back, Emily.
It's so nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
So, Emily, we just heard Emily talk about her experience in college and how she saw this bias, even at a small Christian college. And I'm sure you encounter this often, right?
I do. I mean, my own college experience was very similar to her own. I went to St. Olaf College down in Northfield, Minnesota, and very much so was bombarded by pro-choice culture and conversations about abortion in all of my classes. And now in my work in the movement full time, I work with college students and high school students all over the country who are experiencing things very similar to what Emily and I both had. This is a shared experience by really all young people that we are being exposed to abortion at a very young age and being exposed to this kind of push to normalize abortion among young people.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have a chance to ask Emily Schneller, but I can ask you. So what was it that kind of gave you the confidence to, not that you were fought back, so to speak, but you helped build a different culture on the campus at St. Olaf, right?
Really what made the difference for me was A, feeling like I had the tools to actually speak up. I knew what to say and how to say it. And B, realizing that that could actually make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so at first, there was a bit of a just forcing myself to do it. I learned the arguments. I needed to go out there and get a little bit of experience talking to people. And you kind of have to get over that first hump mm-hmm. of being willing to put yourself out there. But as soon as you get over that bump, have that courage, you start to realize that having conversations with pro-choice people can make a huge difference. I mm-hmm. mean, in my work now, I travel over the country and I work and I train college students, and oftentimes I go out and I'll do their very first outreach with them. I was actually just last week out in LA mm-hmm. doing a training for a group of college students there, and then I took them out to do one of their first outreaches to talk to pro-choice people. And every single time, this one was no exception, I talk with the pro-life students afterwards uh-huh. and they say to me, "That was so much less scary than I thought it was going to be."
Great.
Because we all have these perceptions in our head of how scary those conversations mm-hmm, can be. Mm-hmm. And yes, it takes courage to do it for the first time, but I have universally found that pro-choice people are more reasonable to talk to than most pro-lifers want to give them credit for. Mm-hmm, and so that mm-hmm. fear is a little bit unfounded. You don't need to be as afraid as you
right.
are. But I recognize that it takes a lot of courage to go out and do it the first time.
And it's really about building relationships, right?
It is. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I think that when we can talk about abortion with someone who we get to know, someone who trusts us, we can build this kind of rapport in a conversation. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately where any sort of persuasion lies. Like, the arguments that you make are important. I'm not going to say they're not important, but what matters even more is how you make them mm-hmm. and the fact that you've created this environment where they trust you and they
right,
can open up
right.
about why they think the way they do, and they're open to hearing what you have to say too, because they don't feel like they're going to get yelled at. They feel like you two are on the same team. Just looking mm-hmm. at this problem over here, abortion, we're on the same team. Let's try to solve it together. Let's talk about it. What's happening in this situation? And when you can create that in a conversation, beautiful things can happen.
Mm-hmm. And there is some commonality, you know, the later term abortions. And if people understand that a human being does start at conception, I mean, that's when we all begin and our life starts at that time. What, in your opinion, have been some of the most difficult objections, and then how do you guide youth to respond to those?
Sure. So I think the single most difficult objection, and by difficult, I mean intellectually difficult, the most challenging for pro-life people to think through and respond to right now that pro-choice people are often bringing to the table is the idea of bodily autonomy, mm-hmm. specifically talking about kind of organ donation. There's been a really common slogan ever since the Dobbs decision that in this post-war America, women now have less bodily autonomy than corpses do. And that's a really obviously horrifying concept. No one
yeah.
wants to say that living pregnant women have less rights than corpses. And so it makes total sense to me why that slogan has gone viral on multiple social media platforms. I mean, it's been all over the place.
Hmm.
And